Let's dive in. In 1994, the Canadian government decided that Canada shall have two official sports. Do you know what those official sports are? Hockey and? Oh, lacrosse. Very good. See, I knew you guys were smart. This is a good start for the message this morning. So, these are, hockey, of course, is Canada's official winter sport, and lacrosse is Canada's official summer sport, but I disagree with the government. Relax, that's coming after. Just hold on. I think that Canada has a national sport that is more widely accepted than these two. This is a sport that costs no money. This is a sport that can be played all year long. This is a sport that is played all year long, by the way. This is a sport that can be played anywhere from Vancouver Island to the tip of Newfoundland, all the way to the farthest reaches of the north. That's a good guess. But nope, this one is even more widely played than that. And it is complaining. We are super good at complaining, are we not? We have contests with one another to see how much we can complain. We play this game called low status. No matter what your complaint is, I got a better one. Right? And we compete with one another. And we complain about, of course, the weather. Even on Vancouver, it's unbelievable. Even on Vancouver Island, people complain about the weather. We complain about our politicians. They're all corrupt, we say. We don't want to vote, blah, blah, blah. We complain about taxes. Here's a little meme I found on Facebook just a couple days ago. This is a loony with all the taxes taken out. If you're a politician and you want to collect unemployment, no problem. Introduce a new tax. Canadians hate taxes. We complain about that. We complain about the crime rate. We complain about health care. We complain about our income at not winning at Roll Up the Rim. People who are married complain about being married. Those who aren't married complain about not being married. We complain about technology when it works, and we complain about it when it's not working. We love to complain, but I believe, in all seriousness, that there are some tremendous advantages to living in Canada that we often take for granted. And I'm going to list just a few of these advantages, these privileges of being Canadian. First of all, health care. Man, it is so good to live in a country when your appendix bursts, you don't have to go take out a loan from the bank. It is great. I like it because I never know. This one we often take for granted. We have accountable police. There are rules and laws for our police. That is not true around the world, where often the police and the criminals work hand in hand, and no one says anything. We get to vote, which is also not true all the way around the world. And we may complain about it, we may even neglect it, but we actually get to vote. And so it surprises me when we complain about politicians, we're the ones who put them there. I don't know what we're complaining about. Number four, low-income support. It is so nice. If you have a disability or if you get laid off, there's something there to help you. Because in other parts of the world, too bad, so sad for you. You are on your own. You have to fend for yourself. I really meant to, after each one of these, to say, oh, Canada. Healthcare, oh, Canada. Accountable police, oh, Canada. Vote, oh, Canada. Low-income support, oh, Canada. And finally, we have peace. Oh, Canada, thank you. Boy, some quick people in here. I like it. You know, we have not had a war on our soil in over 200 years. That is amazing, considering that this morning there are people in the world who woke up to the sounds of bullets and bombs. And that's just a normal part of their routine. And so we have these amazing privileges of being Canadian that we often take for granted. I could go on about our natural beauty, our relatively peaceful streets, our freedom of speech and religion, freedom of movement. I could go on and on about some of the privileges we have of being Canadian. And we often take them for granted. We don't realize our privilege that we have. It's so often, it seems as human beings, we often gravitate towards seeing the lack rather than the abundance. And this causes anxiety. This message is not about being Canadian. It's not about Canada. This message, if you saw the title, is the cure for anxiety in the kingdom. And often anxiety occurs because we see not enough. Not enough protection. Not enough acceptance. Not enough money. Not enough stability or love. All of that lack that we see creates anxiety. We lose sight. We not only lose sight of the privileges of being Canadian, we lose sight in the privileges of being part of the kingdom of God. And when we lose sight of the privileges as followers of Jesus in the kingdom of God, we become anxious. This is why we come to the point here this morning, which is this. Peace with God begins the peace of God. Now, I want to especially address those who are listening online and those who are here today who have never become part of the kingdom. And if you haven't been listening to previous messages, I'll recap. Being part of the kingdom is not being in a place. It's a relationship with God. It is a heart condition. And what's offered, and we're going to find out, in being in the kingdom is not just a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's so much more. See, God doesn't want you to be afraid. God doesn't want you to be afraid. Right? He doesn't want you to be afraid of your circumstances, your future, or other people. And the kingdom is designed as an anxiety shelter. There are levels of armor to this shelter. I kind of picture it like a bomb shelter. And the bombs that are coming into you and I are items of fear. But if we recognize the privileges of the kingdom, it armors us against that bombardment. And so we want to look at the privileges of the kingdom, where hopefully at the end we are going to see abundance and not a lack. My hope is if you are not part of the kingdom this morning, that you will consider being part of the kingdom by the time we are done. It is, I believe, with all my heart, the most important decision you can make in your life. We are going to turn to the book of Romans. We've already read the passage, but Romans, for those of you who have never read it, is probably one of the greatest explanations of the Christian faith that you can read in the Bible, but it is not an easy read. And you sort of have to go slowly and savor it like a good steak. And for those of you who are vegans, savor it like, I don't know, what do you savor? Dessert? I don't know. Whatever your favorite food is, that's what you got to kind of do with Romans. You have to slow down and savor it. And in this one passage alone, we see so many of the privileges of the kingdom that are meant to be an armor against anxiety in your life. And as any one of them provides good armor against anxiety. But you put them all together, this is a veritable Fort Knox. So, let's dive in. We start with this. Since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. I read a story here not that long ago about these two. This, by the way, is Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. They worked together on many movies, including Ghostbusters, as you may see. And they were long-term friends. They ended up working on a little movie called Groundhog Day. You might have seen it. And while that movie may have been really funny, something not so funny happened on that set where something happened between these two long-term friends. And they stopped talking to one another for 20 years. 20 years. There was a break in their relationship. Now, Harold Ramis was dying. And Bill Murray, encouraged by his brother, went to go look him up. And what he did was kind of funny. He went to Harold Ramis' hometown, didn't know his address, went to the police station with a box of donuts, as Bill Murray might, and he said, "I need to find Harold." So he got a police escort to Harold's house. And he spent the next few hours with Harold. And he made their relationship right. There was reconciliation between the two of them. Shortly thereafter, Harold died. When the Bible talks in terms of we have been made right in God's sight, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about reconciliation. It's about being brought back into right relationship with God. There was something there that was causing distance, and that thing is sin. And because of Jesus, we have been made right again. And the key element here you'll notice is faith. It's because of faith. We have been made right in God's sight. I love that. We have been made right in God's sight. Not that we worked to become right in God's sight. We didn't do good stuff to become right in God's sight. We have been made because of Jesus. All this is possible because of Jesus. So he made us right in God's sight even in spite of our gossiping and our lies and our judgmentalism and our greed and our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our sexual sins. In spite of all of that, because of Jesus, we have been made right with God. Powerful. No debt remains outstanding. Isn't that something? All has been paid. We have been made right with God. And we are less anxious when we know that we are right with God because of relationship. Having a relationship with God takes away the fear of aloneness. And here's something that I haven't talked about in this series yet. But a fear that often weighs on our minds is dementia. And there's a fear of being forgotten. And many of us face that fear. Some of us may even have early signs of dementia. And there's a fear of being forgotten. And the beautiful thing about having a relationship with God is you are never, ever forgotten. God always remembers you, the real you. Not the you that you become, where you become confused and you do things you don't normally do, but the real you. God remembers the real you. And having a relationship with God takes away that fear, because you know you'll never be forgotten. The real you will never be forgotten. You will never be alone or isolated ever again. That's just one level of armor against fear. How are we doing? You're all right? Keep on going. Here we go. Paul continues on in this letter to the Romans. He says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. This place of undeserved privilege. What is this place of undeserved privilege? And notice again, Christ brought us. We didn't do it. Christ brought us. This place of undeserved privilege is being part of the kingdom. It's being adopted, it's being accepted by God, it's being made perfect by God. All of this. And God changes our identity. Where our identity is no longer in our job, in our marital status, in our personality, in our ethnicity, in our sexual attraction, or our appearance. Our identity is now based on who we know. That is the most powerful identity you can have as a human being, is an identity based on your relationship with God. Because it can never be altered, it can never be taken away. You are absolutely secure in that identity. It brings safety. It takes away the fear of judgment. Because you'll notice, he says, we now stand in this place of undeserved privilege. Not we're running towards it. Not we're trying to balance on it. We stand in it. It is ours. It is firm. It is secure. The fear of judgment, gone. That's beautiful. This is the gospel. This is only the second layer. Security. God gives us security. Oh, beautiful. He continues on. He says, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We look forward to it. We are in a race we cannot lose in the kingdom. We cannot lose. Oh, man. Oh, this is so good. Our position in the kingdom cannot be canceled by sickness, poverty, divorce, loss, mental health. I'll tell you what brings gloom and fear when you have nothing to look forward to. But in the kingdom, you have everything to look forward to. We can, in the kingdom, you can look past the current to the ultimate ending. It takes away our fear of death. This is a big one. This is a big one. We are given hope as a level of armor against anxiety in our lives. The very fear of death is taken away by being part of the kingdom of God because of Jesus Christ. I'm so excited about this. This is so good. To me, this is a privilege in preaching this. I mean, this is good for me. This is a reminder, oh, right, all these levels, all these layers of armor against anxiety are ours in the kingdom. In one passage. All right. I got one settled down. I'm going to ignore that and continue on. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. How is this beneficial? To know that suffering is not pointless when you are part of the kingdom. Suffering, there's a plan to it. If you are not part of the kingdom, suffering is just suffering. It's just misery. There's nothing to it. It goes nowhere. What's the point? When you're part of the kingdom, we can know this, that God uses suffering to change us. I know that every time I've had a major loss in my life, God has chipped away things that aren't like Christ. And He continues to chip things away in my life. With every failure, with every loss, with every bit of suffering, He continues to chip away the things that aren't like Christ. There is a purpose to our suffering. And you know that people will sometimes say they walked away from God because of suffering. That's not true. No one walks away from God because of suffering. They walk away from God because of how they reacted to their suffering. Because you can have two people who experience the exact same things, and one will run to God and one will run away because of how they respond. And I know some, and I don't mean to make light of this, I know some of us in this room are experiencing tremendous suffering, all kinds of different experiences. I just want you to know that there is a purpose for your suffering in the kingdom. God can use that. So it takes away our fear of suffering, maybe even perhaps meaninglessness. We find purpose in our suffering. God in the kingdom helps us see a bigger picture than just our suffering. He wants to develop this endurance. And we move on. He continues this thought and he says, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. This strength of character. In the kingdom, God continues to shape us and mold us to be like his son. And those of us who have been in the kingdom for some time can recognize that God is helping us to be less judgmental. That we care more about people. That we become more giving, more serving, bolder. There is evidence to being in the kingdom. It's an affirmation of God's presence in our lives. In short, God brings us maturity in the kingdom. And this hope, it says, will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. Just settle on that for a second. In the kingdom, God loves us. How much does he love us? Dearly. There's not too many people that any of us can probably say love us dearly. Yeah, some people may love us. Some people may like us. Some people hate us. But God loves us dearly. And he has given us the Holy Spirit as being part of the kingdom, it says, to fill our hearts with his love. This, to me, is one of the biggest barriers to anxiety that you and I have. Why? Because John writes, perfect love expels all fear. When you feel loved, dearly loved, as God loves you, oh, you are fearless. You are fearless. And whenever we question God's love for us, whenever we doubt God's love for us, whenever we start to think that God's love is based on our performance or our good decisions or our holy behavior or our success or our religious activities or our morality, when that begins to be questioned, our anxiety begins to rise. Perfect love expels all fear. And in this layer of protection, God takes away our fear of rejection. Our fear of rejection. God gives us love, incredible love. Now, the next part that he continues on to write, and here we are, he's opening up a window into how it all begins in being part of the kingdom. He says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. When we were utterly helpless, this is the starting point of being part of the kingdom. You cannot become part of the kingdom of God until you consider yourself helpless. If you think you have a hope of convincing God you deserve a place in heaven, the kingdom is not there for you. You have to come to a place where you are helpless. Let me ask you, those of you who have not been part of the kingdom, who have not joined the kingdom yet, who have not repented of your sins, turned away from your sins and turned to God, have you come to the place where you realize you are helpless? Or are you still clinging to the hope that you're a good person? That you have what it takes? That of all the people on the earth, God's going to single you out and say, ah, you're good. I'll let you in. Jesus died at the right time for us sinners. All of us. Me. You. Sinners. And there's a key difference in confession, you know that, between people in the kingdom and those outside of the kingdom. People outside of the kingdom may confess their faults. They may. But only those in the kingdom will confess their faults and their righteousness. You hear what I'm saying? We confess our rightness, our goodness, our morality as being garbage before God. It counts for nothing. All our good deeds counts for nothing. And so we go to God and we say, all my attempts at being good, all my attempts at showing you how good I am, God, are worthless. I am helpless, powerless. And when you come to that place, if you're at that place, you are very near the kingdom, my friend. Very near the kingdom. Continue on. Now, most people would not, make sure you circle that word, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Most of us in this room, we don't care. You good person, I'm not giving up my life for you. Though someone, I love this, don't you love how this is, how Paul words this? Though someone might, perhaps, pretty iffy, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good, and maybe someone we're especially close to, we may die for our children, maybe, or maybe a close friend, maybe, perhaps. How about a stranger? Would we die for a stranger? I don't know about you. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, enemies against him. Who in the world would die for their enemies? Oh yeah, Jesus. That's right. He's so unlike me sometimes. Most of the time. Isn't he unlike it? Who dies for their enemies? Oh, yeah, that's right. Jesus died for the people who rejected him, who called for his death, who gambled for his clothing, who abandoned him, who mocked him. Who of us would die for someone like that? But Jesus died for us. And we'll find out, this is pretty powerful language coming up here. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his, what's that word? Enemies. Just in case someone is still thinking they're not helpless. Before we join the kingdom, God considers us enemies because we are naturally bent against everything that God stands for. We will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. Our friendship with God was restored. I love that. I want to focus on that word restored. Because when God originally created the world, we had a relationship. Humanity had a relationship with God. And so Jesus didn't come to create a relationship with God. He came to restore that relationship. It was there to begin with. It got interrupted by sin. And Jesus on the cross came and restored that relationship. This is good news. And he ends up this section with these words. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. And again, he points to Christ has done this. Christ has made this. But you might not have been keeping track. I kept track. This is the third time that joy is mentioned in this section. So now we can rejoice. Joy. Now we can rejoice. I find that joyful people are grateful people. Joyful people are grateful people. And until you come to that place of helplessness, you can't be filled with joy because you have nothing to be thankful for. You've done it all yourself. Good job. Good luck. It doesn't work. But when you see what Christ has done for you, You have so much to be joyful for. So much to be thankful for. He freed us from so many things. He gave us, in case you weren't paying attention. Oh, he gave us joy. But here's the list. Privileges of the kingdom. It's not privileges of being Canadian. This is privileges of the kingdom. He gave us relationship. He gave us security. He gave us hope. He gave us purpose in suffering, character, love, and finally, joy. Each one of those is a barrier against anxiety in our lives. Being part of the kingdom is like being underneath God's amazing shelter against anxiety, where he takes care of the fear of being forgotten, the fear of aloneness, the fear of death, the fear of suffering, the fear of rejection, the fear of meaningless. He takes away all these fears, which is why we can say peace with God begins the peace of God. And this, by the way, is why we need to gather together. You know, in the Bible, it talks about the church. It's literally translated the gathering. Christianity has always been communal, in part because we often forget the privileges of the kingdom. And we need to remind each other of the privileges of the kingdom so that we can go out into the world remembering that we are in this bomb shelter against anxiety and fear. As famous preacher Tim Keller from New York put it, he said these telling words. He said, "The fact that Jesus had to die for me humbled me out of my pride. The fact that Jesus was glad to die for me assured me out of my fear." The fact that Jesus was glad to die for me assured me out of my fear. Oh, beautiful. Jesus came to save us not just from hell, but from fear itself. Did you hear what I said, church? Jesus came to save us not just from hell, but from fear. Now, I'm about to show you a quote, and I'm giving you a warning up front because I don't want to embarrass anyone. I don't agree with this quote. So before you shout out amen, I've had some time to think about this quote that you have not had the privileges of. So you can feel free to disagree with me, but this is the quote. Came across this. This is from Unknown. "There are only three classes of people in the world today. Those who are afraid, those who do not know enough to be afraid, and those who know their Bibles." Now, I could have seen that some of us might have gone, amen, but is knowing your Bible enough to shelter you from fear? No. It's not. Lots of people know their Bible and are terribly afraid. Lots of people know the Bible and don't even believe. Our faith, Christianity is not based. It's not based just on right beliefs. It's based on relationship. So the question is, do you have peace with God? Do you? I've known too many people who've known their Bible so well, but they didn't combine it with trust. They believed in the love of God, but they didn't believe the love of God. And I suspect there are people in this room who are the same. And so we struggle with anxiety because it's just information and it's not combined with trust. Last year, the staff decided that we wanted our walls to say something. And so on one wall, we have who God is to remind us of his character. And on the other wall, who we are as followers of Jesus is to remind us of the benefits of the kingdom. Because we knew that every week we are going to arrive together, and even throughout the week we're going to be possibly in this room, and we are going to be fighting with anxiety and fighting with fear. And the very message on the walls we wanted to have is to be an inoculation against fear. To remind you how powerful God is, how much He loves you, and to remind us what, because of Jesus, He has done for us. As part of the kingdom, He has done all these things. So when you come into this place, you can begin to have peace once again. To be reminded of the benefits of the kingdom. The shelter that you live in. Have you come to the point in your life where you consider yourself to be helpless? I hope so. And if you are that place and you know that you have never given your life to Christ, today's the day. Don't wait. Do it now. Those of you who are listening online, you maybe have never come into this building before, and you've never seen these words. But maybe you are at a place where you consider yourself to be helpless. I just want you to know you can turn to God right now, and you can say, I put away my old life. I turn away from my sin, and I turn to you. Jesus has done it all for me. And you can become part of the kingdom. I have said that peace with God begins the peace of God. And if you're feeling discouraged here, I want you to notice how I worded this. That peace with God does not necessarily bring the full peace of God. It's a process. It's a growing relationship. It's a start. And we're all in different places. And if you are here and you struggle with fear, you're not a bad person. God's not looking down on you like, you got to get it together. But I am here and we are here gathered together to remind one another of the benefits of the kingdom so that you can take a step forward and say, you know what? There are all kinds of things. I have a relationship with God. I am secure with God. I have hope because of God. I have purpose, maturity, love, joy. All these things are anti-anxiety medication. We are about to sing a song called No Longer Slaves to Fear. How powerful, how poignant for this time today. Peace with God begins the peace of God. The privileges of the kingdom, yeah, come on up, you guys. The privileges of the kingdom vastly outshine the privileges of even living in this incredibly rich nation and are designed to inoculate us to a life of fear. In this one passage alone, we find so many privileges of the kingdom just here. But I assure you, in the rest of the Bible, you are going to find assurances of being part of the kingdom. These are promises. This is great to cut down the fear in our lives. Remember, anxiety is just fear projected to the future. God does not want you to be afraid. He wants you to be part of the kingdom and to trust Him that all these things are true, not of other people. They are true of you all the time.